I want to read the first line of that song one more time because for some reason, all of a sudden, it just dawned on me what it was saying. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, all day. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. I think a lot of times we look at it and say, you know, why is that guy doing so well and I'm not doing very good? That's God's way. We're going to be in Philippians tonight. I told Bruce, I said, him and I have beat Philippians to death over the years between sermons and classes and, you know, whatever else might be going on. But I'm going to take a look at chapter 2 and a little bit of chapter 4, and I'm going to try to put a little different light on it. I told him, I said, you know, it's one of these sermons that, you know, it could turn out real bad or it could turn out real good. I have no idea. We're going to try to take suggestions that Paul makes / commands and turn those over into resolutions. And the idea behind the whole sermon is we make resolutions to ourselves, and they don't tend to work out most times. But when we make resolutions to God, that's saying, I promise you, God, I'll do this. So that's the way we're going to kind of take a look at this tonight. And, we're in that time of the year when many people start thinking about New Year's resolutions. Some of those, there's many. Some might be, I'm going to lose weight. Yeah, well, the middle of January, how'd that work out for you? I'm gonna start working out. I'm going to get a gym membership. Yeah, I went and spent $300. I used it twice. How'd that work out for you? I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to eat better. I have no idea what that means. We're going to have pizza and steak every night instead of hamburgers? Or, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? Well, I'm going to eat better. I'm going to get a better job. Okay, what are you going to do about doing it? How are you going to go about it? Is it just words? I'm going to find a nicer place to live. I'm going to get a better car. And the list goes on and on and on. But by the middle of January, first part of February, most times you can look at somebody and say, yeah, well, how'd that work out for you? It didn't happen, did it? You made a promise to yourself, you weren't sincere, and it just, you know, it really didn't matter. Now, there are those that will make resolutions, will make promises to themselves, and they will keep them, but not very many. The last one that I came up with was, I want to make myself a better person. And that's a good goal for anyone. But where do we start? And you hear it from people. Well, I just want to become a better person. Okay, well, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to go about this? And that's what I want to look at tonight. What Paul has to say in Philippians about becoming a better person, about making promises to God, not just to yourself. In Philippians chapter 2 is where I want to go, and it's got many of these. And some of these are pretty easy to work with. Most of us probably got them under control. Some of them not so much, and some of them are really difficult that need to be worked on. So as we look at these, and some of them are commands, some of them are suggestions, you can sort that out as to what you think they are. I'm going to start in verse 1. Verses 1 and 2. Paul started off in chapter 2 and he says, therefore, if, you know, he likes that word if, and the other word is but. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and mercy, now if all these things, if there's any comfort of love, if there's any fellowship, if there's any spirit, if there's any affection and mercy, if there's any consolation in Christ, here's what he tells them to do. Fulfill my joy. How? Being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Those are all suggestions / commands individually. Be like-minded. That means everybody be on the same page. Now, he's talking, obviously, here about the church. But look at it in your own life. Look at it in your job life. the workplace. Think how much nicer things would be if everybody were on the same page. There would be no arguments. There'd be nothing, you know, to squibble about. Having the same love. Our love for someone, we want that same love back. Paul's talking about the love for Jesus, the love that Jesus gave us. Have that same love. We need that in our own daily lives. Be of one accord. And be of one mind. So all these things kind of all tie in together, being like-minded, being the same mind, you know, having the same love, being of one accord. All these things tie in together. Now, you can sort that out, whether you want to look at those as suggestions to put in your own life, or if those might be resolutions or commands that Paul's written down, that that's the way you need to be. Now, verse 3, he gets into a little more definition. Because this becomes commands. And it's not a suggestion. He said, let there be done. Let nothing be done. Zero. Nothing. Through selfish ambition, through conceit, but do it in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. This is where things start to become difficult for us. How do I look at someone and say, dude, you're better than I am? That's difficult. That's a really hard step. And he says, do nothing through selfish ambition. We're living in a me world. And it's getting worse. I don't want to preach doom and gloom, but that's just the way it is. I got to have this. I got to have that. It's all about me. I got disrespected at work. I'm quitting that job. Do nothing for selfish ambition. Do nothing through conceit. You know, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am. That's an attitude a lot of people have. It's hard not to be conceited. It's an ego thing. And then the other is esteem others better than yourself. These three things are difficult things to do. Human nature fights us on this, as well as Satan. But when we enter into our Christian home here, or we're in the workplace, or we're in a family gathering, think how much nicer things would be if we would implement these things. Verse 4. Again, command. Let each of you, that's not a suggestion, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, don't just care about yourself, but also the interest of others. How much do you care about others? Or do you only care about me? Look out not only for your own interest. Yes, we have to look out for our interest. That's obvious. But we also need to be aware and look out for others. That's where the care comes in. And again, I want you to understand that Paul's talking about the church here and a congregation. But this applies in our daily lives as well. If we're in the workplace, and we're doing our job, and all we care about is us, and we're only looking out for our own interests, and we're stepping on everybody and doing everything we can to get a promotion, is that really the right thing to be doing? Are we worried about what we're doing to the other guy? Verse 5, Paul goes on, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That's the mindset that we've just been talking about. Now, if we're going to be Christ-like, then don't we need to do things the way that Christ did things? That would only make sense to me. And Paul's saying here, be like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, be of one mind. Don't do anything through selfish ambition. Do nothing through conceit and esteem others better than himself. And look out for other people's interests as well as your own. Do that because that's the way Christ did things. Christ came to this earth to set an example for us. And yet we seem to want to do things different than what he did. I'm going to skip down to verse 12. Paul says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. So they're obeying what they're supposed to be doing, whether Paul's there or not. Do we do that? Or, you know, Bruce, I remember I was in class this morning in your sermon, but do we just show up to be seen? Do we show up to glorify ourselves rather than to worship God? Is it the right thing to do, or is it the right thing to do because you want to look good? Sometimes we have to ask ourselves that. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. These people have been doing what they're supposed to be doing. Paul had a love for this church. And he really enjoyed what the Philippians were doing and liked what they were doing. He doesn't get after them like he does the church in Corinth. Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. They've gotten stronger with him being gone. They listened to what he had to say. They listened to his teachings, and they're doing them. And then he goes on in the end of verse 12, and he says, now work out your own salvation. I can't save Bruce. I can give him ideas, and I can study with him, and I can do all these things, but ultimately he has to do things himself. But Paul says, work out that salvation. Do it with fear and trembling. And that doesn't mean to be scared of God, but that means to respect the word of God and do what he's supposed to do, and don't worry about what other people are doing. Do this with fear and trembling. Have a respect for God's word and what you're supposed to be doing. Be obedient. There's another difficult word. Well, I can do this and this and this and this, but you tell me I got to do this too? Come on, Paul. Come on, God. That's beyond what I can do. No, it isn't. God's commands are his commands. And who are we to say no to that? Be obedient and work out your own salvation. Now we get into a little more of a problem area here. In verse 14. I know I have to work on this. I'm not a constant complainer, but I do like to complain.
Amen.
But it says right here in verse 14, it says, do all things without complaining. That is all inclusive. Mm-hmm. That's a work in progress for, I would guess probably, I'm not going to say all because that's all inclusive, but many of us. Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about, again, the church, family life, or work life. Most of you are still working in a workplace. How nice would it be not to have anybody complain about anything? It'd be fabulous, wouldn't it? But verse 14 says, don't do all things without complaining. That's a pretty big lump to swallow. And then it also says, and disputing. Other words for disputing are arguing. Another word for complaining is grumbling. So lump it all together. Do all these things without complaining or grumbling and disputing or arguing. Think how nice congregations would be. And we, you know, the Church of Christ is not adverse to bad things happening within the church. We've got, I did a sermon a couple months ago on a couple churches in Dallas as an example of what's going on. Instrumental music. Women working in worship, women being elders and deacons, all these things. And all that comes about because of man's opinion, and it gets into somebody's complaining and grumbling about we should be doing this, and they sell the product. But in family life, we see families, and mine's not, I got a grandchild who won't hardly talk to me over something that was said years ago. But I know my family's not adverse to that. You know, many deal with the same thing. If we didn't complain and grumble and argue and dispute, that wouldn't be happening. Just as it wouldn't be happening in the church or the workplace. Do all things without complaining. Do all things without disputing. Childproof. Verse 15. Now he says that. He says do all things without complaining and disputing, and he gives you a reason why. that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights of the world. Boy, does that not describe today? Be blameless and innocent. And you can't be blameless and innocent unless you couple the verse above about complaining and disputing. If you're constantly complaining and you're causing disputes, how do you think you're going to be blameless? How do you think that you're going to be innocent or harmless? It can't happen. You're doing things against God's will. Now, to put that all back together again, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We've got things going on in this world today that just boggle your mind. But they've come to more attention because of the media exposure that we have. It's nothing that wasn't going on back when Paul wrote this letter. From homosexuality to adultery to, you know, the abortion problems, everything else that's going on. They had all these same things going on in first century church, or Paul wouldn't have written this. But it's for our guidance also. And we have to be aware to stay strong, stay blameless, and stay innocent in all this stuff that's going on around us. And then verse 16, he couples it up now and he gives you further explanation as to why to do these things and how to do it. And it says, hold fast the word of life, that's God's word, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in pain. Our labor is not in vain if we're doing it with the right attitude and the right frame of mind. And that'll get us to where we want to go. But we have to do the things above that verse in order to make that happen. It's all coupled together. It's like putting a chain together. And that chain is only as strong as the weakest link. Our life is only as strong as our weakest links are. Because if we have a weak link, you think Satan and his army aren't going to get in there, you got another thing coming. He'll be there. And pretty soon that link gets broken and the chain just unravels. Now I want to go to chapter 4. Verse 4. Command. Rejoice in the Lord. Just sometimes. It says always. Be happy. Again, I say, rejoice. You'll find in Paul's letters, when he repeats something, he's making a point. And the point is there, be happy in the Lord. Rejoice in him. In verse 5, he said, let your gentleness be known to all men. Be gentle to everybody. We don't have to be angry and grumpy with everybody. Be happy. Be gentle. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. He's watching. And now verse 6 is something that is difficult for all of us. I think I can say all. Because it reads, be anxious for nothing. Okay, Paul, how do I do that? Things bother me. Things get to me. But it's a command right here that says, be anxious for nothing. Don't let things get to you. I was visiting with Sina this morning about Puka's accident. She's 15 years ago, I'd have been a nervous wreck and I'd been all over the world. Today, with the comfort of God and the peace of mind, knowing that God is in control, that lets her be calm. And folks, the bottom line there is that's called faith. If our faith is weak, so is our life. So is our Christian life. It's not going to be what we need it to be. Faith is something that is worked on. You don't just automatically have faith. It starts as a grain of mustard seed and it grows. But it's something we need to work on. And being anxious for nothing is something we need to work on. But the bottom line is there, we're working with our faith. Because if we have a strong enough faith, we're not going to get anxious about everything. Very few things will bother us. And Paul gives us a way to take care of that anxiousness. He said, but everything, but in prayer. You got problems with being anxious about something, go talk to God. He'll listen. And he might not give you the answer you want, but he'll give you an answer. And he'll show you a way out. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians. Things are not going to get tumbled on top of your shoulders so bad that you can't handle it. And God will always provide a way out. But you have to be willing to knock on the door. You have to be willing to seek, and you have to be willing to walk through it in order to take advantage of what God's trying to give you. Be anxious for nothing? Go to God in prayer. And do it in supplication. Do it with thanksgiving. How many times do we go to God with all of our problems and we forget to thank him for helping us? Let your requests be made known. Those are all commands. Verse 7 goes on and says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. We don't understand that peace that God gives us. It'll guard our hearts. It'll guard our minds. And we do that through Christ Jesus. That's what Paul's saying here. And then in verse 8, he kind of sums everything up. And he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, he's got everything coming in now. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. Meditation and prayer. Now, I want to turn this just a little bit and look at these as resolutions. We make resolutions, as I started off this sermon, about many different things. And let's just take this as a complete thing and say, I'm going to resolve to do this. Be like-minded, have the same love, being of one accord, be of one mind, do nothing through selfish ambition, do nothing through conceit, esteem others better than myself. Look out not only for my interests, but others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Be obedient, work out my own salvation, do that with fear and trembling. Do all things without complaining. Do all things without disputing. Be blameless and innocent children of God, without fault, in a crooked and perverse generation. Hold fast the word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be gentle to everyone. And be anxious for nothing. And pray and let my request be made known. Now, if you're looking for resolutions, instead of making resolutions to yourself that are easily broken, make resolutions to God. The difference is when you make a resolution to God, you say, I promise. I'll do that, God. Now, I might not get it done 100% right away, but I'll work on it and I'll do it. Nothing changes overnight. People are of different attitudes, of different mindsets, and being anxious about stuff is not easy to get rid of. God understands that. Paul understands it. I understand it. But still, it's a command to get rid of it to the best of your ability. If you can't get rid of it at all, you keep working on it and pretty soon it'll happen. But it all starts with faith. If your faith is weak, you're going to be anxious and upset about everything. Paul has a way with words. And he's got a way with getting across what he wants done. I want to read this song, and I want you to think about not just coming to Christ as far as a baptism, but coming to Jesus and saying, I am resolved to do these things that Paul just laid out. And it reads, I am resolved no longer to linger. I'm not going to linger about this stuff anymore. I'm going to get it done. I'm not going to be charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one. He is the just one. He hath the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth. He is the living way. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me. Foes may beset me. Still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Put these in your life. If you don't remember everything that we covered, just go to Philippians chapter 2 and Philippians chapter 4, and it's all laid out there. Paul's got it laid out like a map. Make the resolution to be a better person. If there are any here tonight that need to put their Lord on in baptism, we do have that invitation for you. If those need prayers, if you need help with any of these things, if you need help with being a stronger person, if you need help with helping build your faith, let it be made known. Prayers work. But if we don't know to pray for you, then how's that work for you? So if there's any need, anything needs to be done, let us stand while Kurt leads us in the closing song here.